day in the morning, Wolf.
One tonight at Chase Center. Big one for the morning roast. Happy Friday to everybody out there getting up their graveyard shifts. If you're at work, what is happening? If you're getting ready for work, what is happening? Strippers, baby daddies, baby mamas, teachers, cops, paramedics, water department, construction workers. What's happening to all the construction workers out there getting that money on a 46 degree morning in the city? It is dry, so we're happy about that. Good morning to Spadoni. Good morning to Lubbin. Good morning. Good morning. I see a text I got to get to in a second. Good morning, everybody, on the Xfinity Mobile text line.
Good morning,
YouTube,
Vietnam.
Twitch, Shasky, and the first text of the day. Because, look, we're going to talk a lot of Warriors. We'll talk some baseball. We got a lot of stuff planned for you today. Fun show. Fun show. I promise you. But 415, Bonte, can we please start with your boy, Shasky? He dropped Snowfall. Spoilers are ruined the season for me. I only started Snowfall because of you two. Well, 415, it depends where you're at.
I waited 24 full hours.
Yeah, see, I always wait a week. I just don't even say nothing anymore. I just...
Other people ruined it on the timeline. I apologize, 415.
Yeah. A lot of people see this is the problem. This is why you have to stay off Twitter. I did see all caps Jerome.
And
while I was watching the Warriors game, I was like, okay, something happened with Jerome, whatever. I'm going to ignore it and just still watch the episode and block it out. It's tough.
I apologize.
It's tough.
I mean, but in this digital age that we're in, it was a 24-hour moratorium.
Yeah.
And it expired, and boom.
And it was an unbelievable episode.
It was explosive.
Explosive.
It was explosive.
It was unbelievable.
The guy who I call Sugar Free, I don't know what that guy's name is.
Oh, Scully.
I love him.
He was Stacy in the Wood.
Yes, there's so many great characters.
So many great characters. Scully. Man Boy, rest in peace. Franklin Saint, of course. Leon is great.
Yeah.
Sissy.
I don't like Franklin's mom.
You don't like Sissy?
I don't know. Her whole motives are I'm getting sidetracked. Yeah,
let's not do that. Let's not do that. Stacy in the Wood. Look, man, we got a big game tonight with the Warriors and the Sixers. And Laura Brent's going to join us at 9:20 to talk some Giants. We got a lot of good baseball talk coming on. I'm going to be open-minded about the Giants, but they're in a weird situation here. Weird situation. I wonder about the patience of the fan base with this regime. What happens if things go awry? What happens if they get hot with this roster here? I think they're in a good spot financially, despite spending $173 million on this roster that you see on paper. But you have financial flexibility for the future, which makes you wonder if they could flip it for Shohei Ohtani. But the Warriors, it feels like after that win, Shasky, from just driving around and listening, people feel a little better about the Warriors coming into tonight.
Feels off like of that renewed optimism, win. No?
Yeah, it does, right? It feels good because you saw Kuminga play well. You saw Jordan Poole play turnover free, and he wasn't hot sauce. He was just being consistent. Stephen Curry's, playing at an MVP level. Draymond Green turned back the clock with a monster second half. I don't know why, though. It feels like, okay, maybe they can reclaim that magic from late last season and take it into the playoffs. Because if they win on Sunday, all of a sudden they're in the top five.
I mean, that's incredible.
Insane.
It's absolutely incredible. I guess Embiid is kind of 50-50-ish.
Questionable with a right calf strain.
Does that mean 50-50?
50-50. He didn't play in the second half in that game against Chicago. Now you got a flight. They're going to be very, very cautious with Joel Embiid.
That's a good point. Well, even if he plays, it's going to be an uphill battle. Even if he doesn't play, I feel like it's going to be a very difficult game because, every time you think the Warriors have turned the corner, they stub their toe.
They do.
So
they're coming back home.
Yeah, and it just feels like GP2's on the mend. Wojnarowski putting out yesterday that sounds like he's going to return Sunday.
Yeah, told you. That was the word on the street.
You were all over it. I didn't mean to say
that. No. Woj broke it. I mean, it was a little murmurs.
It was
the murmurs around the facility that he's getting closer and closer. So that's good news.
Yeah, no, and I'm really excited. And these Friday night matchups, this feels like a big one. I mean, this really feels like a big one. And I think this is going to bring out a great crowd to Chase Center.
Yeah.
And I'm really feeling it. And obviously, you've kind of documented how great the home court advantage has been for the Warriors since moving into Chase Center. And I think that was a legitimate question. Heading into a new arena, would the... how would I put this? As I don't want to be disrespectful, there are a lot of old-time season ticket holders, but
right.
when the Giants moved into their new stadium, mm-hmm. there was this aura of, oh, they've priced out the real fans.
Right.
When the Niners moved down to Levi's, there was this aura of,
they priced out the real fans,
and they moved away. And I think that both of those elements, the moving and the pricing, has, you know, had a stigma attached to Chase Center. And I, man, I've been to not as many games, nowhere near as many games as you. Every time I go, I still feel like it's got that great vibe.
It does.
Now, it may not be Oracle for a variety of reasons, because coming off of BART and walking over that bridge, it was a little different. Mm-hmm. You know, it was different. But when I'm in the game and it's the third, fourth quarter and that crowd starts getting hype, I don't know, man. It still feels very reminiscent of Oracle in terms of the environment. And I love that they've captured that. Quietly, it feels like we haven't discussed it enough.
No, you know, that's a great point. It's a great point because Friday night in the city, Friday night hoops in the city, and you think about it, the bands in front of Thrive City, you got the bands, sometimes they bring out Pittsburgh High School, they have their bands coming in. It's always a vibe. They're always music. You feel good when you step foot in the Thrive City. And then you have Dumpling Time at Gotch, and you got the big screen right there, and they're getting people ready to go. The vibe, like the pregame vibe, is better than Oracle, because at Oracle, all you did was walk straight into the arena.
That I agree with.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. There wasn't much around Oracle Arena.
There were people drinking in the parking lot.
In the parking lot.
But
you could do that at Thrive City. You could do that around Thrive City.
No, it's
and
way
the walk
more,
up.
It's way more like walking into the game. Because that's the one thing.
And you got the food trucks down the street, too.
I know, but I think the one thing about AT&T Park that I appreciate is that it feels like everyone is coming from all corners of the city and the Bay Area to come congregate there. Whereas it felt like at Oracle, park your car, get out.
Right.
I'm not trying to, like, it's just different.
No, I know. I went to Oracle a long time. I went to every single game.
The BART, I thought when I would BART to a game there, it was different than driving to a game.
Right, it was different.
I actually felt more a sense of community. But when I go to these games, it always feels like an event. And I do feel like there's a pep in people's step. We're in downtown San Francisco. We're on the water.
Well, not only that, but just, again, when you get off BART, when you park the Oracle Arena, it's not knocking Oracle. Because once you got inside of Oracle Arena, it was lively. It was electric.
No doubt.
It was a vibe.
And I just love the arena.
And LeBron, I remember LeBron said, man, whenever I play at Oakland, man, it's, you know, it's what's up. Pride and Joy would be performing there with the bands and stuff. And so you had it inside. But when you were outside, you didn't really hang out outside. Yeah, you hung out in the parking lot to drink a little bit, but you have things to do in the city. Down the street, you got the Phil's Coffee, you got the Miller and Lux, you got the food trucks down the street. Oracle Park, you could see it from a throw stone. You could just walk down 3rd Street, and it's happening down there. So, and then you get the Sixers. And whenever you get one of these classic East Coast teams, whether it's the New York Knicks, the Boston Celtics, the Philadelphia 76ers, they come out here once a year.
Mm.
There's a lot of East Coast fans. You need to think about the Warriors starting in Philadelphia.
Neighbor Dave.
And the history, Neighbor Dave. The history between Philly and the West Coast. The Boston Celtics coming out to the West Coast. You see all the green, or you see all the red and blue. Mm. It's a vibe with one of these East Coast squads coming to town, because you get those East Coast fans in the building, and they always play hard, man. The Sixers will come here, especially with Joel Embiid, and when they have Ben Simmons, they always came to Warriors to run for their money. And so I expect a very electric crowd, a very electric basketball game. Again, only 2 meetings a season. So these two teams, when you look at the history between the Warriors and Sixers, just in the last 10 years, you get some damn good basketball games.
Well, and then factor in, is he a top 10 rival of the Warrior franchise all time?
James Harden? Well, that's, you know, it's funny. With our King of the Hill, we'll have a little twist with it today. It'll be the most hated Warriors most hated Warriors opponent, top 8.
Okay,
so James Harden, where's that? Because Lubin and I were talking about this last night.
Yeah, I think he's a top 5, at least in recent memory.
But it feels like it's dissipated. The hate's dissipated because he is on the East Coast now.
Yeah, I agree. But I do think that when you play him, it'll cook back up.
Maybe he's not that number one option anymore. You know what I'm saying?
I know, but B, he's just, he symbolizes so much. He symbolizes
the crying.
Daryl Morey. He symbolizes coming for the throne, the breaking up of trying to come for the Durant stuff. You know, when we brought in Durant, he symbolizes so many different things. The way the game was played in terms of foul hunting and how much we despise foul hunting as a fan base, because we think our guy doesn't foul hunt in Steph Curry. Like, I just think there's a symbolism there with James Harden. But yeah, maybe you're right. It's not as strong as it once was. But trust me, come 8:00, I think we're all going to hate him again.
Well, it was those Rockets teams. And Daryl Morey, that's the guy I hated the most on the Rockets. I couldn't stand James Harden, but I hated Daryl Morey. I swear to God, I don't know if I told you this. 2019, game one, Western Conference semifinals, Rockets, Warriors.
Okay.
Warriors steal that game. Rockets could hit a three. I swear to God, I'm in a visiting locker room. And the visiting locker rooms at Oracle Arena were very small.
Okay, you weren't wearing a suit at that time.
No, I was wearing a Frisco flannel.
Frisco flannel.
All right, so I was in there, Frisco flannel.
Flat-brimmed hat.
No, no Jordan. Hat. I wasn't wearing a hat that day. I'm not sure.
Slightly baggy jeans.
Well, not that baggy.
Backpack.
Just wasn't wearing skinny jeans, you know. Like Jay-Z say, my knock's got to breathe, baby. Jay-Z said that, not me. Listen, so I'm in a visiting locker room. I'm in a visiting locker room, super small.
Uh-huh.
And so the bathrooms are right behind you. And so next thing you know, I look and I say, whoa, there's Chris Paul, James Harden, and Mike D'Antoni. And they literally are looking down at their phones on Twitter at people screenshotting missed foul calls.
No, they're not.
Discussing it. And we all see it. The media all sees it. We're looking around. It's like, are these guys really looking on Twitter at missed foul calls, some screen grabs from J510415XBXB, Twitter user number 9. And then the audit came out the next day. Remember that? They said they missed 81 foul calls.
81.
Remember that?
The Excel spreadsheet.
And that was it for me. That's when I officially jumped. I said, I could never root for these guys, man. I could never even like these dudes. And so that still sticks with me with James Harden. But since he's been to Philadelphia, I don't have to watch him as much. They don't talk about him as much. But it may conjure up to some of those same feelings.
Well, and then you bring back the Philly element, where I think it's becoming one of the Bay Area, you know, most hated rivals. I mean, I'm still getting asked about Eagles Niners.
Well, that's there. That is there. Are you going to get memories of that with Philadelphia in town?
Not necessarily.
Because the Sixers.
Phillies, I think I'll feel it because NL, I don't know why. The NL thing, I think because they're
baked up.
What's that?
Rhys Hoskins out with a torn ACL.
Did you see that? He just fell. He just literally fell fielding the ground ball to his left.
I mean, he rediscovered his swing in the playoffs last
year. Sacramento.
I mean, then Bryce Harper's out till midsummer. Yeah. Ugh. Tough.
I know. Tough. I know. But point being is that I feel like the Bay and Philly has got a little rivalry thing coming.
There is something. There is something between the 415 and the 215. There is. And tonight would be a hot, hot game. Now he's questionable. James Harden, that is. Joel Embiid is questionable with the right calf soreness. Harden's got the Achilles soreness. He's always sore. He's always big.
Well, he's got all the medical tape.
Right.
You know, he's got a bunch of X's of tape all around his body.
Everywhere. And no, Mac McClung is still in the G League, in case any Warrior fan was...
He is, but I thought he saved the dunk contest.
I mean, kind of.
This is the first time anyone's uttered the name Mac McClung since on summertime. Any radio. Well, since like 3 days after the All-Star game.
Well, there's still some Warrior fans who want Mac McClung on his roster.
So I was talking to Spadoni about this earlier this morning. I don't know, are you into the Russian River Brewery?
No, I'm not a big brewer. The only one I've been to up in the North Bay is Lagunitas in Petaluma.
So Russian River Brewery, they got a sweet spot in Santa Rosa, and Stumptown sells it as well. But they do, normally, it's Pliny the Elder, which I believe is a double hop or double...
It's a popular beer. That's all I know about.
Yeah, so anyway, my understanding is that Pliny the Younger is a more exclusive... brew, I guess, is the way. I don't know the terminology, and I apologize. And the beer aficionados, please get in here. You're only allowed 2 or 3 cases, and they only release it like one time a year. And there is usually lines out the door. Is anyone in our audience, is anybody going up there to swoop up the Pliny the Younger?
So it's released today, and they only do it seasonal.
They do it like, I believe, for like a one date a year. Maybe it's 2 dates a year, and that's it. So like right now,
sell it
this
like-
year, it'll be on tap and in bottles in both their Santa Rosa and Windsor pubs, March 24th through April 6th.
So you can't get Pliny anytime else? Because I feel like I've gone to bars and they've had Pliny.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
They have Pliny the Elder, which is more readily available.
So Pliny the Younger is just different.
It's a triple something or other. Triple hops or triple whatever.
What's a hop?
I don't know beer. I'm not like really into beer. This Pliny stuff from Russian River Brewery is huge. You know I love Russian River.
Right.
So like this, I'm all about this.
I don't know beer though. Is that a bad thing? Like,
so
I
here's feel like what we it says. Should, though. All right. Here's what it says. All right. Each guest will be given a custom, uniquely colored, and dated wristband upon entering the pub. This is when you go in for the pub. These wristbands will have four pull tabs to be redeemed for the ability to purchase 3 10-ounce pours and 2 bottles of Pliny the Younger.
Wow.
There is a limit of 3 draft Youngers per guest. So that's when you go into the pub.
Well, Alejandro Barroso on YouTube.
It's a triple IPA. Yeah, there you go.
He says it tastes exactly the same as Pliny the Elder. Lines for that beer are ridiculous.
So now it's like a Jordan drop. It's like as right. the 707 saying. It's basically like when they come out with like, right. like for example, the
triple IPA,
the Tiffany / Jordan collab right. drop that came out. People were going crazy. I'm just curious because like, I'll tell you right now, I know this Russian River Brewery is very popular. I mean, it's got yeah. like a very, very big following.
I've never been.
I'm going to have to try to go. I want right. to get some. I want to put it in my cabin.
So I guess Pliny the Elder is a really good double IPA. Okay. Usually you're only able to order 1 or 2 glasses of that beer. So wow, I did not know that.
Does double IPA mean, does it get you more drunk or is it just more strong? Does
stronger?
It
taste different? I'm guessing it's stronger.
Someone educate us.
Yeah, so I guess it's strong. Because I do like hazy IPAs. Yeah. If I do drink beer, I always get the hazy IPAs. I like light beers now.
Yeah, I do
I don't
too.
Like the heavy stuff.
I'm with you on that.
You know, like Shock Top. I was a big Shock Top guy.
I love Shock Top. Yeah, my brother's a big beer guy.
Yeah, Shock Top just nice and smooth. Yeah. Doesn't get you too faded, but I'm not a big beer guy. I don't know much about beer, but just wait until the bots get to the Pliny the Younger. Damn, they do treat these like Jordans. Huh?
Are we gonna have people online? Got them with the got them sign and the Pliny the Younger.
510 most overrated beer tastes exactly like any other triple.
What is a triple hop? What does that mean? Okay. What does a triple IPA mean?
So here you go. I found it for you, Shasky. So a double IPA. So I'm assuming it's the same thing as a triple. And a double IPA features more hops and malt. The added layering of hops promotes more bitterness, while the extra malt provides a more distinct toast. Or caramel malt flavor. When more malt is added, the yeast has more sugar to convert to alcohol, so you end up with a stronger brew.
So it's a stronger brew, and I'm assuming it's
more bitter.
Tastes more bitter.
Okay. Yeah, I don't like bitter beer. Like Guinness beer is like bitter, right? I don't like Guinness.
I'm not a big Guinness guy either. I'm not. You know what is good though? That they have a Guinness, a dark Guinness that actually isn't bad. Yeah. But like one of them feels like drinking 3 Coronas.
Well, you know what's really good. It kind of reminds me of what we're describing here with Pliny. It's Trouber Pils. Trouber Pils, a light, smooth beer. Yeah, I like those beers. It's nice, just chill.
You want a
hot day?
Meat?
No, I'm not. I'm just telling you.
The way you sold it, nice, smooth beer, less carbs.
No, it is less carbs. It was good, man. And by the way, shout out to Trouber Pils. Our folks out there, Trouber Pils, still got my glass with my name on it. Nice. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
Well, I'm Dante Hill. After I go to Salt and Straw, I like to go to Trouber Pils.
Well, somebody was sending me a bunch of Salt and Straw stuff on the DMs.
That was funny. Salt and Straw's good, dude.
I like to support local. And if there is a company that's killing it in terms of like local.
Trouber Pils is local.
I know Trouber's local. And Russian River Brewery's local. Yeah. So I just want to throw this some love. Yeah, I thought it was really cool.
No, it is really cool. I'm now educated on beer. Now I know what's up as I have a shortage in my cord here.
Yeah, but if there is a brewmaster out there, or someone who just happens to be a beer aficionado, I would like to be educated this morning.
Yeah. You need to know how to drink Guinness. How do you drink Guinness? You have to chug it?
Like in a pint usually, so a big glass.
I love Guinness. It's my favorite beer.
Whoa, and here he goes.
You got to have it out of the can. Of course, I'm Irish, the Irish in me. So you got to have it out of the can. Don't get it out of the bottle.
Look, he's redheaded.
Are you Irish? I didn't know he was. I thought he was just redheaded.
I got Irish on me on my grandma's side. Anyway, so you got to pour it right down the middle of the glass, about halfway. Let set. Then you got to pour the rest of it, and then
Are you a hipster beer guy? It's okay if you are.
Kind of, yes.
Okay, so
why didn't you jump in here and help us out, damn it?
Because I was doing a bunch of other producing stuff, and I was like, why didn't you help us out about this beer?
You got to sound like noobs up here about beer, and you're sitting up here holding out on us.
Noobs like beer.
I haven't heard that term in a
while. I wanted to let you guys work through it. I was doing some stuff, we can continue this on the other side, so we got to get to a break.
Before we get to break, I know Altamont has sweet beers because my cousin, JP Money, that's his family friend, and they do the Mac Dre beers, and I've got tons of the Mac Dre beers in my fridge. Have you ever had those?
No,
they're good. Altamont does a really good beer.
Stella is good. I like a light beer. Do people judge you on the beer you drink?
Niner
games at Levi's, sometimes they sell the Bud Lights, and I'm just trying to get something just to get it. And then people are like, you drink a Bud Light.
Some beer people get incredibly judgmental. I saw your buddy drinking
a Foster's, and I go, and I said to him straight up, I've never seen a black guy drink Foster's.
Yeah, I never have either. I don't know. Nance P is different. Let me just say that. Nance P is different. He can drink anything.
I know. I couldn't believe it.
Foster's is a great golf beer because it's cheap as hell.
I mean, I think of Greg Norman. Right. You know what I mean? I think of Australia.
We pulled up. We had these big-ass cans of Foster's. Huge.
I said,
like, out of all the beers to pick, you pick Foster's.
I've never seen a black guy drink Foster's.
Yeah, me either.
That was me stereotyping, and I apologize.
No, that was the first time I ever drunk a Foster's, and I'm a black guy. All right, shout out to YouTube, Twitch, Trinity Mobile Text Line. That segment was brought to you by Go to State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. What's coming up on the game, sponsored by AC Transit. More beer talk, plus basketball talk. You got to hear what Bobby Jones said about Stephen Curry. Bobby Jones. What is it? Game 3 on HBO? Yeah, you got it to it with Jake Paul. All right, that's coming up on the Morning Roast.
The Morning Roast is live on YouTube right now. Take it away, Bonte.
Stone Cold?
You think it's funny when Stone Cold Steve Austin rolls into a dry county? What? You think it's funny? What? Huh? I got nervous. My skin broke out in hives. I'm itching inside. My liver's all twisted up. But you know what I did? I took Deborah, went to the liquor store. I loaded up with alcohol. More specifically, vodka, whiskey, beer, tequila, more beer, more vodka, more whiskey, and more beer.
Dude, Stone Cold was a moment in time.
And that's nothing like a wrestling promo. Roman Reigns is pretty good.
I like him.
I saw a promo with him the other day against Cody Rhodes, just floating around the timeline. Roman Rhodes is good. And the whole tribal, what did he call it?
I don't know.
He's got his Samoa brothers with him. And he's got, who's the manager? Paul Heyman?
Yeah, Paul Heyman.
He's a trip.
Yeah.
He's a trip,
he's
man.
He's timeless.
He's timeless.
You know what he is? He's like Jack McKeon. You know, you bring him in at the... Jack McKeon was coaching until he was like 95.
Smoking cigarettes in the dugout.
I mean, come on. You keep bringing him back. Marlins wanted to bring him back a couple years ago.
No doubt. You know what? Let's go to Robin Martinez.
Oh, yeah, Rob, educate us.
Rob, educate us on IPAs and beer. I love this.
How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing great, Rob.
All right. I will not ask if you can hear me. I know you can. Okay. real basic on beer, fellas. So beer, to be a beer, it has to have four ingredients.
Okay.
Water, hops, yeast, and some sort of grain. It can be malt, it can be barley, it can be rice. All right, so the history between an IPA is that it is a beer that was shipped over to troops in the Second World War to India, and they found that the more hops you added to it, it would keep the beer from spoiling, hence bringing up the ABV, the alcohol, right?
Huh.
So that's a little history on IPAs.
Mm.
So, a single IPA is around 7%. That's generally where that's going to come in. Once it gets above 8%, it's going to be a double IPA. And triple IPAs usually come in around 10%.
Does that make you, let me ask you, okay, because obviously there's a taste element in this. Is it a get blasted quicker type of a thing, or like it's more rich? Kind of like having like a triple chocolate something or other at dessert?
Kind of, the answer is yes and yes.
Gotcha.
So you are going to have a bigger hop character the more hops you add to it, and that all depends on what kind of hops you add to it. You can have hops that are piney.
Huh.
You can have hops that have a resiny quality. You can have hops that are danky. And again, the danky is the danky you're thinking of. Hops are actually related to marijuana.
They are actually
related to herb, believe it or not.
Nice. Huh. So is Pliny the Younger, is it, be honest, I know some people, oh, it's not worth the hype. Is it, you know, worthy of being so hyped up?
So, yeah, you actually brought up a really good brewery, Erwin. I will say this. Yes, Russian River does make fantastic beer. They always have. I don't know if I personally am down to go wait for 2 hours.
That's a different question.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I will say, like, you brought up Altamont. There are a lot of beer companies that have upped their game to get a lot closer to Russian River.
Gotcha.
Since Pliny's become as popular.
Gotcha.
So, is it good? Is it worth it? Does it deserve all the credit gets? Yes, it's a fantastic beer. But there are a lot of other companies, again, Altamont, Knee Deep, there are definitely some other companies that are making beer of the same caliber nowadays.
Let me ask you, Rob. River. Rob, real quick, when did Pliny become so popular?
Like 15 years ago?
Yeah, it's probably. I mean, when did it become as popular, like the cult
Yeah.
There it is. Yeah, it just feels like out of nowhere overnight, everybody started drinking Pliny.
Yeah, and again, it's been a beer dork beer for like 15, maybe even 20 years now. I don't know exactly when it was released.
Are you in the industry, Rob?
I drive for UPS now, but I used to work for Drake.
Drake's brewery, Oakland.
What hub are you out of, Rob?
Sunnyvale.
Sunnyvale hub, okay, nice.
Shout out Sunnyvale
hub. I used to work at the Oyster Point hub and then Frisco hub down on Potrero.
Oh, nice. Yeah, no, I know. I've heard you say you worked for UPS before, and now you switch to doing what you're doing. Which thankful for us, you did it, brother. I enjoy listening to you guys.
I appreciate Rob, that, Rob. Really thanks for the call, man.
Timing in, man.
Believe
in
Brown.
I actually saw
Mondo. Mondo, who calls it from Fairfield. He was driving the truck. He always drives on Brandon.
Oh, yeah.
So I asked the way I go home coming out of the show, Mondo. And he's like, what's up, man? What the Niners doing? You know, Mondo's always got a take.
Oh, yeah.
Whether on air, off air, Twitter, doesn't matter. But I appreciate the education about beer.
Yeah.
Beer drinkers. Ben knew about Pliny. Yeah, I didn't know.
We didn't know on Twitter.
I'm sorry, I don't drink a lot of beer.
Yeah, I'm educating myself.
I don't drink a lot of alcohol.
Well, so the one that I always have in my refrigerator, I have bottles of Guinness in my refrigerator for people, and then I have the Modelo. Is it Negra? Is that what it is? What's the? It's like the black label
Negro Modelo.
Negro. Okay, there you go. I think it's delicious.
Damn, Lovin' knows.
Lovin' is all about this.
Lovin' knows.
I'm a low-key beer snob, to be honest.
Lovin', so what's your go-to?
What's the go-to when you're on a date? That's what I want to know.
I mean, honestly, Guinness is probably high up there on a date, but...
You order a Guinness?
Oh, but no, honestly,
no wonder you're striking out.
If I'm on a... can you let me finish? If I'm on a date, like, you know what? I'll break out a bottle of wine, you know? It's
what?
You don't need to classy. Do beer on a date.
That's
you know?
Classy.
What kind of white timeout? Red? White? Wine. Whatever she wants.
Depends what the entree. It has to be. Yeah, come on, Sam.
Gary St. Jean, Saintly, friend of the program, had a really good line once upon a time. We asked him about wine, and he said he's not a connoisseur, he's a sewer, because any wine will go down him. And that's kind of like where I'm at. You know, Saint and I, we're on the same page there.
Oh my
if it's
gosh.
Wine, I'm going to drink it.
Oh, man. Whatever it pairs with, right?
Yeah.
Hold on. Hold that thought.
Okay.
Hold that thought, because we do have to get the Curse Corner in before the break here. Spinotti's in my ear. Curse Corner, let's do that.
Oh, it's
right
Negra.
Now.
I apologize. Negra. It's Modelo Negra. I do not want to mispronounce
it.
No,
let's not do that. Let's get Kerr's Corner. He's out with Will or Dibs yesterday.
It's time for Kerr's Corner, presented by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet, only from Xfinity. Here's Bonte Hill.
The talk of the town right now, Jonathan Kuminga and Steve Kerr was asked about Kuminga. Here's what he had to say about Kuminga's great stretch of play the last six games.
He's really come into his own, you know, over the last couple of weeks. I mean, he's shown flashes all year. Obviously, he's just an incredible talent. But, you know, watching him grow offensively and get more and more comfortable with when to attack and where to attack from has been really fun to see. Because that's the hardest thing, I think, for young players, especially really talented players who have the ability to do a lot of things. You know, there's sort of a lot of options, but when you're in the NBA and everything's moving quickly, and there's great athletes out there and nine other players, you know, moving around, it takes time to figure out when to dribble, pass, and shoot. And it sounds simple, but it's really not. And I think that's the biggest thing with JK right now is he is just... He's starting to figure out when to make his move and when to move the ball on.
True words by Steve Kerr there, coming into his own.
He can't even have a glass of wine. He's 20.
I know, he's 20 years old.
I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, when I see people criticizing him and this, and, like, they're really nitpicking his game, I'm like, you realize he literally cannot buy a beer at the store.
I know. He's so young.
I don't think we truly understand how crazy. And then not only that, there's like this whole cultural acclimation. I know he's been here for whatever, 7 years or whatever. It doesn't make it easy. Like, there's still a difficult process. A, right. You've been given millions of dollars.
Right.
B, you're the head of your family right now in terms of
money, financial leadership,
the
everything.
The responsibility that goes on there. I know that is, you know, obviously watching over his brother right now and his cousin.
Right.
Like, there are so many layers to this. And we're out here. He needs to rebound more.
That's why I try not to crush. That's why I try not to crush college kids.
It's crazy.
When they're playing like March Madness. I don't know if you watch any of the games.
Not a college kid. He's 40 years old.
Yeah, Timmy is baller, but it's tough crushing.
Timmy looks like my dad.
It's tough crushing college kids though. No, when I'm watching games and stuff like that, guys, you idiot! How can you throw? It's just like, hey man, a kid made a poor throw. It's going to happen. These guys are kids. 20.
I know.
This guy's played in the NBA at a high level.
I know.
So, anyway, it's insane.
But I would say the same about Trey Lance. I would say the same about some of the other younger athletes. And I'm serious, B.
No, I know you're serious. The way we talk
about some of these younger athletes, it's kind of wild.
It is wild.
I, you know, it comes from a lot of older people, though.
It comes from a lot of older people. It's like, ah, these kids. Screw these kids.
I actually would like to talk about this on the other side. I listened to a podcast with Ricky Williams, and there's layers to this discussion. Lamar Jackson having yourself be an agent.
You know what? Yeah, but all of a sudden, Memo's going, hey, don't negotiate with anybody but Lamar Jackson.
That's why I want to talk about this on the other side. And it's about like the psyche of the young athlete who thinks that they're doing things the right way and everyone's criticizing them and they're just walking their path.
Yeah, it's a good point. What's coming up on a game sponsored by Fremont Bank? Full service banking, no compromises, excuse me. We'll discuss that. Plus, I do want to get to March Madness, too. Some really good ball last night. I enjoyed it. March Madness was a lot of fun last night. We'll do that on the Russ as we continue to break down the Sixers, or we will break down the Sixers and the Warriors at some point today on the Morning Roast.
Hey, it's your Michael Green with the Golden State Warriors. Now back to the Morning Roast with Bunte Hill and Joe Shasky. Take it away, Bunte.
J&G? You know, I like Jermichael. We came out of Gatehouse a couple weeks ago after a big game. Jermichael's a good dude, man. He was fun. Discussing how he's like, man, I get to shoot so many threes out here. It's crazy. Asked him about Stephen Curry, what he thought about him as an opponent. He's like, man, this light-skinned dude ain't soft. Jermichael Green coming into his own. He's a real one, too. He's about that life. He is. He was at Damian Lee. He's about that life. I wouldn't mess with JMG. As we welcome everybody back to the Morning Roast here on a Friday, this segment is sponsored by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. By the way, Tom McGinnis, longtime radio voice of the Philadelphia 76ers. He's been calling games for the Sixers since 1995. It's a long time, Shasky.
It really is.
Trademark the phrase, are you kidding me?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either until Lovey put it on the notes.
Thought my dad trademarked that. I don't know if he trademarked it so much as
that's his like signature catchphrase.
Okay, it's his trademark.
Tim Roy has his elevation sensation.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
You know, I want to just for
he is really good though on the mic. Tom McGinnis is really good.
Okay, cool. Speaking of Guinness,
yeah,
I do want to just take a quick little right hand turn here and just talk about something national.
Should I put my seatbelt on?
Yeah, could you? Right. Well, I always wear my seatbelt.
Right.
Ricky Williams, I want to just ask you some questions here. Ricky Williams, when I say Ricky Williams, like I think some people think of a couple things. What do you think of, just real quickly, when I say Ricky Williams, the former running back in the NFL?
I think of a guy who he may be a trailblazer in terms of being open about his mental condition.
Absolutely.
That's what I think of. I mean, I also think of the retirement out of nowhere on a Saturday night with Dave Watson. It's like, what? Ricky Williams is retiring? Uh-huh. I think he was in like Australia or Japan or somewhere. Mm-hmm. And he told the office, I'm not coming back. But I think of a guy who was a trailblazer who really opened up about who he was mentally.
Do you think people bring up how, because this is the narrative around him, oh, he was an idiot for signing with no limit and having that horrible contract with the New Orleans Saints?
I think it was early on.
Yeah.
But I think it transitioned, especially after the 30 for 30 on ESPN, where he was smoking weed. He was up in around the Russell River, Humboldt County.
Yeah, just smoking weed.
So early on, yes, and then later on, it was like, okay. And then also, they think of the wedding dress. They think of him doing interviews with the helmet on. Yeah.
So, like, I do think how we view Ricky has changed a lot because we know a lot more about weed, mental health, you know, some of the things. So he brought something up that I thought was really interesting. And he's into astrology, like big time into astrology.
Yep.
And whether you believe in that or not, I find to be his perspective refreshing because it's very unique, right?
Yep.
He's lived the life of an athlete who came from nothing. Mm-hmm. And
it was a star player.
Yeah.
Think about it. Heisman Trophy winner, Texas University.
Was he drafted in baseball?
Austin. Yeah, he was a baseball player. He was legit in baseball.
I didn't know that. Well, his mom was one of his agents for baseball to sign a contract, right?
He was legit.
And
out of San Diego.
Yeah, and he wasn't like born in the slums or anything like that, but he didn't have a whole lot growing up. He's just a normal person. So he was talking about the contract that he got, and he goes, you know, I signed with the company that No Limit Master P, a sports agency they put together. And he said, when New Orleans traded all the draft picks for me, I thought, hey, I think it would be fair, because you traded so much to get me, I want to earn every dollar. So let's make this, this was his idea.
Right.
I want to make it completely incentive laden. Mm-hmm. Now, how many times now in modern day, the athletes are greedy.
Right.
All the athletes are greedy. He was labeled a moron
for doubt.
Passing up all this money because he wanted to quote unquote earn it.
No doubt. Now, he also, Richard Sherman later on was called an idiot for negotiating his own contract too. Remember,
exactly.
With the 49ers. So
exactly.
You know.
No, but I just think that like.
But it was also to the rap. I think with that situation, with the contract, the stigma around Master P and No Limit Soldiers, and what they were rapping about, and the NFL being, I think, a little weary of introducing that
100%.
Culture into their game. Was like, wait a minute, where's Drew Rosenhaus?
Yes.
Where's Lee Steinberg at? Master P,
well, you're
really
not conforming. You're not conforming to the norms of what the industry and society demands, right? Like, I mean, think about you and me. We don't conform, and we get in a lot of trouble behind the scenes and whatnot, and we're maybe not everyone's cup of tea for that reason. So, like, Ricky Williams is talking about Lamar Jackson, and he's saying, like, hey, look, everybody's, like, crushing him for not having an agent. It's like, just because he wants to do that, why is everyone up in arms?
Yeah. Nah, it's a great point. We actually discussed Lamar Jackson about the agency stuff, and I was like, why does he need an agent? What if he just wants to do this himself? If he wants to keep it in-house, let him do that. It's his life. It's his choice. Why do people have a problem with that? Because all of a sudden now...
Because it doesn't conform.
But you know what else now?
Because it doesn't conform.
It's getting nasty with him.
Yes.
And I think Mike Malone touched on something kind of similar.
Say that.
Mike Malone was talking about the MVP race, and he goes, okay, they're all playing great, and be honest and everything, but why do we have to crush the other guy to elevate this guy?
Totally agree.
Why do we do that? So now, with Lamar Jackson, what's happening is, well, he's not Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Joe Burrow. I wouldn't even take him. He's not that good to be doing all this. He's not good enough to try to get all that money. He knows his value. He's saying, you know what? I'm going to cash in right now. I'm looking around the league. I know what I do for my team, how valuable I am. I'm going to try to get every single dime. It's about money. It's nothing personal. And now people are taking a personal shots at him about his play, about who he is, what he raps about. I saw somebody tweeting, oh, well, you know, he raps about Kodak Black, and he's like this and that. And Kodak Black is, you know, not the best human being in the world, but why do we have to dive deep Tom into Brady, what a guy listens to?
Tom Brady was posting TikTok videos with rap songs that were very explicit, and everyone was like, look at Tom connecting with younger people, right?
Right, no
I
doubt.
I mean, we do that all the time.
All the time.
And so
we think it's cool when he does it.
Exactly, exactly. Look, he knows how to relate to his
Kirk
teammates.
Cousins. Wearing ice on the airplanes.
Yes.
Oh, look at Kirk Cousins. Oh, he's so cool. Look at him wearing the gold teeth and the gold chains. And I thought that stuff was corny.
I totally agree.
Come on, man. That's whack to me.
Well, but anyway, Ricky Williams was just going on and on about this podcast. He does it with Dan Le Batard, where he's a kind of like a frequent guest. And he was saying that I think the factor that the majority of athletes, and Kevin Durant falls into this bucket, where they miss the mark. And this is where he missed the mark. And I think a lot of people can relate to this in their own like real life scenario. You want to make the most amount of money, but sometimes the most amount of money comes with the worst quality of life, you know, for you and your family and your situation. And he was saying that like in sports, Kevin Durant, he had to get a ring to have these egg avatars online accept him as a champion, right? And he came to the Warriors. He still was unhappy.
Oh, well.
And he didn't get those things.
Well, he was unhappy because people still knocked him for it. It's like, you pulled the weakest move ever. You went to the Warriors who beat you. You're ring chasing. Blah, 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 blah. And he was like, outplayed LeBron James in the finals. And they still were like, well, LeBron's the best player in the league. LeBron. And he was just like, I just want my credit, dude.
Yes.
And now all of a sudden, well, those rings don't count. Those are the weakest rings ever. Instead, we couldn't take a step back and say, what if Kevin Durant want to unlock every skill set of his basketball, his array of basketball skills, right? And that's what he did. He was like, I came here. I learned about passing. I learned how to play defense. Mm-hmm. I learned how to be a great defender. And we all forget the first half of that season, his first year with the Warriors.
Defense player of the year.
He was playing like the DPOY.
Yeah, I agree.
He was. And nobody, everybody's so fixated on.
Rib injury?
Was that the
year he had the rib injury?
The rib. And then I think he had the knee when Zaza got pushed by Martin Gortat.
That's my foot. Yes, you know what I'm saying?
So,
when he was a wizard?
Yeah. So. What if he just wanted to be in a great situation? He gave Oklahoma City all that time. He was a free agent.
Didn't conform. This goes back to the conforming thing.
Yeah.
And so, like, but this is more on a reflection of us, the media,
right,
and how we, if you step out of line, like right now, Dame Lillard, and we've talked about Dame Lillard ad nauseum. Dame Lillard is happy and content with his quality of life in Portland. And we're like, wait a minute, you don't want to win championships? Mm-hmm. Well, you're never going to win anything. Now, I've criticized Dame Lillard. I'll be at the top of the list in terms of, like, not playing defense.
Right.
But if he's happy and he's still an awesome player and he's trying to make it work there, who are we to judge his QOL equations?
I'm with you.
So, like Lamar Jackson, let me ask you this one, B. Would Lamar Jackson be happiest? We don't know because we don't know. Staying in Baltimore, going somewhere else, making less money, being in a better situation. What are the things that he's valuing right now for his situation?
It feels like he wants to get paid.
I agree.
He wants to get paid for all the things he's accomplished in Baltimore.
I also think
he's got injuries too. And he understands that the NFL is not for long.
Don't you think he changed their franchise.
But it's also he's watching Carson Wentz. And he's watching Daniel Jones get $40 million. Daniel Jones got $40 million.
And his half of a season wasn't better than any individual Lamar season.
Not even close. And he saw Kirk Cousins do the franchise tag. And everybody applauded Kirk Cousins. Oh, look at Kirk.
Yeah.
Oh, Kirk Cousins. And he gets traded.
Guaranteed after that.
Gets a big fat deal in Minnesota. Yeah. And it's like, wait a minute. So Lamar understands that with my style, this may be the only time I get to cash in.
Yes.
So let me cash in now and get this generational wealth for my family. There's nothing wrong with that. He's given everything to the game of football.
Well, and so then he was using the example of Aaron Judge, and he goes, Aaron Judge used the Giants to keep the quality of life that he wanted in the New York Yankee pinstripes, but leveraged the Giants into getting the money as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that was a unique situation.
Smart.
Aaron Rodgers. Clearly wanted out of Green Bay because he's miserable.
Yep.
For a variety of reasons.
But he's also stuck him for every dime.
Every dime.
And doesn't matter.
No one has said boo-hoo.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And Brady, for that matter, I think what adds to Brady's greatness, nobody even discusses it.
Hmm.
He was taking less money in New England
to make sure
to stack the roster.
There's no doubt.
Nobody even discusses that.
Did you see Giselle was in Vanity Fair?
I did.
She had a whole little breakdown. And
I got the magazine yesterday in the mail.
Yeah.
She did. Michelle, too?
Yes.
I didn't read it. I may read that.
There's a lot that goes into it. It was actually kind of sad because I think a lot of people can relate to this in their own relationship status, like where they were at 26 or where she was at 26, mm-hmm. where she is now. You know, they just grew apart. It wasn't necessarily football. There was a lot going in. And again, she put it out there and now it's public consumption.
Right,
as we talk about privacy and what you're allowed to talk about, what you're not. I feel weird talking about it.
I'm not going to talk about it. And people will tweet about it. The same people who tell you not to say anything about Andrew Wiggins will tweet about Giselle and Brady at some point. I guarantee you that. So Ricky Williams' perspective on this, I want to listen to this podcast.
Yeah, I want to say
that. I find Ricky Williams very fast. He was one of my favorite athletes.
Oh, he's one of my favorite football players.
No doubt. When I first saw him play, it was against Texas A&M.
Yeah.
And he scores it down. I was like, Ricky Williams is going to win the Heisman? Who is this guy?
He's a monster.
And he was a beast.
What do you have, 2,000 yards in one season in Texas?
Yeah, he won the Heisman.
He was so sick.
I mean, he loved Earl Campbell.
I loved him with the Dolphins.
The black visor was so sick.
Dude,
like, everyone wanted that because of Ricky.
So I'm looking at his numbers right now.
He's like criminally underrated.
I mean, he ran for 1,853 yards for the Miami Dolphins in 2002, 16 touchdowns. And I related to him just because he was shy.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, Shasky, when I was growing up, I was kind of shy because I didn't have a lot of confidence.
Mm.
And you could see that with Ricky Williams where he was socially awkward, but it was a confidence thing.